That's our call order, roll call. Go over the minutes of the previous meeting, if everyone received those and has looked them over, if I can get a motion approved.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Moved by Supervisor Gilmore. Seconded by who? Supervisor Franklin. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
You the governance?
Aye.
I tried to do you guys first, I'm sorry. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, you the governance. We have a short presentation this evening from the people from the Kemper Center and their architect. I know that we have discussed briefly, or had some discussion on the possible plans for the Kemper Center, and this discussion came about, if you remember when Mr. Grocki was here with us last year, talking about cash flow. It's basically a move by the Kemper Center Board to try to increase not only the visibility there, the traffic with people, and to bring in some income. So they are going to let us know what they're looking at. There has been a little gossip and a little discussion that I've heard about this. And before we get into their presentation, I want to take a moment to say that any discussions that we've had with the county executive, with Kemper, have certainly been that this is a standalone endeavor. The endeavor is going to be by the Kemper Center themselves. The county board and this committee would give approval to any work that was done to those grounds, and any monies spent. And my assurance is again from the county executive that any money spent will be money raised by the Kemper Center Board. We would continue our grounds, money that is in our budget for this year, and the grant money that is in the budget for this year, but none of those funds would be used for this endeavor. So when we begin this presentation, we're going to make, we didn't have any questions on that. There'd be, this is again a standalone endeavor. So any other supervisors? Youth and governance? Next we would move to citizens' comments. Any citizen that would like to address this committee would have 5 minutes to speak. On anything that would pertain to business of this committee. If there's any citizens' comments. If not, we'll move on. So we're going to move on first to the Kemper Center presentation. And Mark, are you going to lead that?
Yes. We just had to stand up. I love the warm welcome.
For those of you that don't know, Mark Molinaro, Partners in Design, a very prestigious architectural firm in the southeastern Wisconsin, northern Illinois area. Former county board supervisor for many years, former county board chairman.
Well, I appreciate the nice introduction. And currently Summerstown chairman, if that matters anybody, since we're disclosing all that I seem to be involved in. So I'm Mark Molinaro. I'm with Partners in Design Architects, one of the principals. I've got a couple representatives from Kemper Center, since I don't know officially what their roles are, Frank. In particular, I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Lisa Jetsky. I'm the executive director at Kemper Center.
I'm Frank Sarter, vice chairman of the board, past chairman.
So Gary Grocki would ordinarily be here. I'm sorry for talking to Grocki, by the way. But ordinarily would have been here, but he's out of town. I think he's down in Florida yet for the rest of the April. He'll be back sometime in May. So I understand you've had some conversation about this project. We've had some, obviously been in some discussion with the county as well as your committee through your chairman. And what we want to do today is just kind of talk through generally what we're doing. You're going to get what will be a nice flashy little handout because of Gary Gronke, as you know, with Design Partners, who's been involved in Kemper Center for a very long time. Anytime they have a conversation about doing something at Kemper, Gary and his company put together a flashy little brochure, binder of some sort. So, of course, that's why you have it.
I don't have enough for everybody,
but I know not everyone is on the committee, so I think we'll just start going around if you want them to take it. But for a little background, I was involved not only at the time I was on the county board, but also through my firm with the renovation of the South Building at Kemper Center. So the Rotary Club that I belong to that currently meets there and has met in that location for probably, we do that project in 04, maybe before that, maybe 96, holy cow. So we've been meeting at Kemper Center since that project was done. My club raised $250,000 towards that total. I believe it was $1.2 million that we put into the renovation of that building. So that building has four floors in it. We renovated the first floor and the second floor. Third and fourth floor were gutted. We put in some temporary heat. Obviously it's heat that is in there as a permanent solution now because it's been that long since anything's happened up on those two floors. But if you walk through it, you know they're vacant. They've been gutted. It's all studs, open ceiling, open joists, etc. With the intention that at some point in time there'll be a renovation of those two floors as well, and that could very well be some productive, whether it be income or some other use for Kemper Center, much like the Simmons Auditorium, third and fourth floor, which was before you. So I just give you that background to make the point that Kemper has always been in the process of looking for ways to sustain and support and advance their revenue, the growth of that facility, and of course the completion and enhancement of all of the structures that are over there. So the third and fourth floor of Simmons right now, the reason we're primarily focusing on this portion of the complex is because we believe it lends itself best to single-user cooperative type or co-op atmosphere in terms of the potential to lease office space. It's two floors that are usable to some extent in their current condition, but certainly don't put themselves in a class B or C, certainly not a class A office space at the moment without some renovation work to be done to it. So that's what we're contemplating. We believe we can renovate those floors economically. It isn't going to require a full gutting. We'll keep as much of the historic character, actually as much of the existing materials in there that, as we can right now. In the back of the book, a lot of the front end stuff is just some history and Kemper Center, much of which we've all heard many times before. The last couple of pages, or second to the last, gives you a layout of the third and fourth floor. The only thing that we are really going to come in here and fully gut is the existing bathrooms. We'll take them on entirely and rebuild those and a new ADA compliant, fully accessible toilet. So it'll be a shared space, one on each floor. I say one meaning it'll be a multiple user, but one full restroom renovation on each floor. We have taken this out to a couple of contractors currently, and what we put together, and I say we, I'm referring to Partners in Design, we put together a scope document that gives us the ability and has given us the option to go out to a couple of contractors. I got a third one looking at it right now that we hope to have at least some rough numbers by maybe before the end of this week yet. So that'll give us then a rough budget number that we can, Kemper Center can then put together a pro forma back into what these overall costs are going to be. We think we're somewhere in the range of $250,000 at the moment. We suspect we could be stronger than that if we determine we want to do a little bit more in terms of the types of finishes we put in there. We'll be as economical as we can be because in the end they've got to be able to, number one, raise the funds. As was pointed out by your chairman, these are dollars that Kemper is raising. To my knowledge, the intention is not to use county funding for this at all. We'll have to back into what a pro forma looks like or what a rent per square foot looks like, whether we think that's competitive in the market and we think we can support it and certainly get the tenants that would come in and take a space at whatever that number might be. So We hope to be able to have what we need to start putting those numbers together, and we think, you know, within 30 to 60 days, we'll have a good feel for what that looks like. At that point in time, we'll come back and go through whatever process, Matt, Ray, that we need to make a formal request, if one is necessary, to get some final sign-off and maybe we'll move forward with it. Questions? We're certainly open to questions.
President Ray?
Yeah, Mark, can you take a look at this? Is this now a distinct proposal that is different from what I heard about the former dormitory rooms that were a different part of the building? Is this a separate proposal from that?
Yes.
This is the dormitory rooms.
This is the dormitory?
This is the dormitory.
Okay. So
yes.
Really it's one of the same area?
Yes.
So we're looking at a third and fourth floor of Simmons. And as you see it now, if you had your druthers, is this a phased thing, one story at a time, both at the same time? What's your current proposition?
Well, ideally, I think we'd like to do both at the same time. It depends, again, on the money, what the cost is.
Assuming when you get your documentation back, your proposals, bid packages back, proposed construction season would be this year, next year?
Well, the beautiful thing is, of course, we're not contingent upon weather here, so if things come into place and the dollars make sense, whether it's one floor or two, we can start that right away. If for some reason there is a delay, we could do this over the winter. The intention is, if the numbers are right, they believe they can finance it, they believe they can rent it, we'll start the process, the project right away.
So this is really just the exploratory phase. This is doing the numbers, getting the bids in, and that type of thing.
Correct. I will say this, to further answer your question. If we determine that a single floor is all we can do at the moment, we will make sure that what we put in place from a utility standpoint, we can provide the heating that we need. Wouldn't be any cooling, certainly, at this point, but we put the heating in place that will allow us to do a single floor, leave the second one unfinished. We'd have that heat in the summer, or in the winter, I mean. That would give us the ability then to maintain that structure, those two floors, in a heated condition so we could occupy a single floor on the front end.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Can I say something?
Yes,
I wanted to speak to the comment that you made in regards to the gossip or the rumors or whatever that was going around in regards to this renovation. Something came across my desk from the Kemper alumni that had stated that this renovation had already started taking place and they were excited about it, and so I reached out to Matt and Ray and tried to get some questions answered. I got to go over there and see what was taking place over there, and I appreciate you guys bringing this forward so everybody could see it, and you can answer questions that, you know, we have in regards to it. And my number one question was, how much was it going to cost to the county? And I appreciate you answering that. And so it looks great.
Well, in full disclosure, I tell Gary, I mentioned how he gets so excited about all of this stuff, Gary Gronke. I had him change a couple things in the brochure. I said, you know, they're going to read that and they're going to look at it as though you've got this thing rented and you're well on your way. And it's because of his exuberance about Kemper Center, and he's just been that way from day one. Whatever Kemper seems to need, he's willing to step up and get it done. I'm sure some of the confusion had just been, he's ready to go. If these numbers come in where they need to be, he believes he can fund this through the funding mechanisms that they're put in place, whether it be foundations, donations, Kemper income itself, or income for the project itself. And he's going to be right before you and said, we're ready to go. We want to do both floors if the numbers make sense to him. And that's just the way that he approaches it. So.
Yeah.
Who are the perceived tenants?
Artists.
Artists?
Artists.
Okay.
If you remember, several years ago, we had the two houses on the corner across from the Art Center that had to be demolished because they were falling down. We used to have artist studios in there. And when those two houses were taken down, we lost that income. And then things were a little slow. A lot of our attention was on Kemper Center on that side of the street. Now we're trying to focus in the future for the Anderson Art Center. And that's where the studios come in, and kids' art classes that we have in the summer, and everything else associated with it. So we're trying to get that income back on board. And what I was going to say, the alumni got excited because we were looking at their old dorm rooms. And that's when they went out to their alumni to see what kind of interest they have in getting on board. So that's where that letter probably came from that you saw.
Go ahead, Bostrom.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the explanation as to who the target audience is. Is it solely going to be for artists, or are you going to open it to other office opportunities, or?
I think the majority of these are small enough that it's going to be primarily artist studios, as far as we've discussed right now.
And just by my quick little count, looks like each floor might have 12 studios.
There's 10 on the floor, 20 total.
What kind of demand did you have previously? I mean, did you have 20 studios in these buildings before?
No, I don't recall the total number we had in there. We might have had 10 or 12 rooms that we used for area artists.
And they're always full, so,
yes.
So
yeah,
you think there's not going to be a problem with absorption for 20 rooms?
No, we don't think there'll be a problem at all. I mean, that's really not a lot of rooms, but yeah, that's what we have. Some are very small, you know, so we're dealing with what we have.
And I suppose the next time you come back, you'll have a full pro forma, you know, what kind of rents you expect.
I think this will be a use in here in a setup such that I think anyone can coexist, quite honestly, with the artists. So if it's predominantly artists, we all know how it works. It's all about who wants the space and who's willing to pay for it. And I could see some mix in there personally. I think the good news is the way it's set up, I think they can certainly coexist together without much of an issue. Kemper Center is a big place, right? So in terms of its access to the overall complex, I think the coexistence would be pretty easy to accommodate.
Supervisor Franco?
Just out of curiosity, what's the size of each studio, roughly square footage, once it's revamped?
They vary probably from 150, 200 square feet.
Okay.
So they're small, very small.
I'm looking to see if I've got a dimension here, which I don't.
Because I was just curious what the estimated rent would be for each one. You haven't figured that out yet, I guess.
No.
Okay.
A well-sized dorm room is what it amounts to.
That's a good one. I think the gymnasium on the first floor, or as we call first and second, I think is around 1,800, 2,000 square feet. So the third floor and fourth floor with probably 14 or 15 rooms on each floor, but a couple of them will be mechanicals. One's the bathroom, one you can't use by the fire escape door, that'll be a lounge area. So you're down to, let's say there are like 15 rooms on each floor, so into 2,000, I believe it was 2,000 square feet.
Supervisor O'Neill.
Mark, does that include the sprinkler systems in the renovation too in this area? Does that have to be done? I know we've had, when we did that other renovation, the sprinkler
That's
system.
That's a good question, John. I don't recall. I will say that we have been through the building on a specific walkthrough with the fire inspector, Guy Santelli. I went through with him.
Yeah.
I went through with the building inspector from the city of Kenosha. So I don't recall, I don't think we're required to sprinkle this building. And the only reason I recall is we've got a number of projects going on. I can't remember the specific detail here, but I believe we are, it's not required, so we will not be. There's no sprinkler there now, so
yeah.
In this portion, so we'd have to bring a new service in, and I don't think he required us to do it. It does not fall under this section of the renovation code that requires us to do it. Got ample exits, and he looked at all of that for us.
Thank you.
Are you going to do one floor at a time?
Only if budget requires us to do one floor.
Oh, okay.
So
the
numbers are.
You got so much money, you can start with the first floor, and as rents start coming in, you can help pay for the next floor. But that's not the plan. Is to do them all at once.
Would be ideal
okay.
To do that.
Anything else from anyone? If not, we really appreciate you coming in this evening. I know it's for a short bit of information for us, but it's very nice for the committee to hear this, and that there's no surprises to the county board. It's, the one thing you can be assured of, as always, this committee and the county board will support our county parks. Yes, I said that, you know, the county executive and discussions that we've had has said certain funds will not be used, but as far as our full support, naturally, you have it. And anything else, as far as helping with fundraising, with any of the other work that needs to be done, of course.
Well, and I think Kemper understands it's just a matter of making sure that we get the information, we follow the processes,
yeah,
and go through the steps that we need to get the approvals.
Right.
So we'll certainly do that.
And I did get a little flyer from Kemper that highlighted the new artist suites, and I said, I don't think they're there yet.
Like I said, it was up to Gary. He'd have this thing already done.
Well, I knew they weren't there, but I thought maybe I saw a ghost.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Frank, Mark.
See ya.
That's all, Gary. I love these pictures.
Oh, yeah, well, that's just for Jason.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for everything. Appreciate it so much.
So we'll move on. Division reports. Mr. Martinelli.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. First thing in front of us is a resolution to grant We Energy's permanent easement request on county-owned property, 1116 57th Street. That is the old Wisconsin Badger Millworks building that we are converting into a new fleet maintenance building. We need to bring in three-phase electricity, plus we need to bring in a new gas service. And if you take a look at Exhibit A for that resolution, it'll show you that they're coming in off of 13th Avenue and bringing it across the old Denali property, which we own, and then coming down into the side of our fleet maintenance building.
Any questions for Frank on this? This is a fairly common easement. We've done many here in the last couple of months with We Energy. So I have a motion on that.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Grady, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any discussion? The value of the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Carries? Frank?
All right. Item B, the fire alarm system replacement project for the courthouse. We were really pushing to get done by the end of last month. We had a couple hiccups, but we now need to integrate some door openers when the fire alarm goes off. So we've got to get with Kane, who is a system that takes care of opening our doors with the scanners that you bring your card up to. So we're trying to get that together between Kane and Simplex, who's doing a fire alarm. So we're looking at trying to get that all wrapped up by the end of this month. No questions? We'll go on to the public safety building generator replacement. We actually started some preliminary work early, some earthwork, and forming up some of the chases for the gas lines and coring out for the electrical lines, because the generator will be right outside the northwest corner of the PSB. And so we're a little ahead of schedule starting. We're hoping to take delivery of the generator by May 20th, and then having the whole project wrapped up by middle of June. No questions? We'll go on to the public safety building addition second floor project, which also includes the fleet maintenance building. We received the bids on February 23rd. We're investigating some additional value engineering options to bring the costs within budget. Currently, we're roughly $175,000 we're about 2.3% above the $7.6 million budget. We anticipate starting demo work on the Badger Millwork building, the interior, early May. Any questions? If not, we'll go to the branch.
I just wanted to add something. This is that one of those big projects again where we're consistent. All of the bigger projects are coming in right at budget or slightly above, whereas all of the smaller projects, $1.5 million and less, we're getting really good competition, as you'll see when Frank gets to some of the other things. Good competition, a lot of bidders, but on any of the larger projects, so that's why I'm thinking, after this is a big project, we don't really have anything else in the pipeline for a few years, and I think that big project-wise, so I think it's going to be to our advantage, because until the marketplace, in terms of the available contractors, kind of catches up to what's taking place demand-wise right now with all the commercial construction that's taking place, anybody that's got a larger project is really going to be hurting to find contractors. Whereas a lot of the smaller ones, there's been enough startups now that we're in a pretty good spot from a bidding standpoint. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay. Next item is the courtroom branch 4 remodel. As you remember, we had a very, very good bid from Highlander Construction for just under $99,000. Myself purchasing and the architect went down to visit their headquarters outside Chicago. We went and looked at several other projects. Everything looked good. We looked at their millwork shop. So the PO was issued to them. We have a pre-construction meeting with them and the clerk of the courts this Friday purchasing. The total project is expected to take about roughly 8 weeks to complete. And so that's in the works.
So if the committee remembers, we had put a certain amount of money in the budget for this year. Naturally, this does not include furnishings and things, but this is the contract. But we still will be more than likely able to, with this year's budget, begin next year's work.
It's possible. Yep.
It's very possible. We will at least be able to use a portion of it. So this is could be a very nice relationship. Compared to what we thought, and the trip to look at their workmanship and things, I heard went very well. So I mean, we're elated with this.
Yeah, we're optimistic.
We were real concerned about the millwork because it's a millwork intensive, but judge's bench and all of the DA stuff, and they saw some of the millwork firsthand, and it was precision. Everything was very well done.
And Terry Rose has to be able to hook his computer up and we've got all.
Actually, we do have all new data lines to those.
No, I don't.
Where
I,
they
don't.
Said, so.
I told her.
I was excited. So, any other questions? Okay. This building, Kenosha County Center Roof Replacement Project, has been going very well except for this rain. They started actually right out of the gate as soon as they got the PO last month on the 20th. They've been going gangbusters. They've only got a few more days on the office roofs here. They'll be able to finish up. They already started doing preliminary setup here in the shop roof. So as soon as this weather clears, we can get this taken care of. And I think we should really, barring really bad weather, be done early May. And that's it.
Thank you, Brent. Really great.
Just to go back on the combined service facility, which is the former Badger Millwork, what is the timeline on that, Frank? When is that supposed to be finished up?
We'd be looking at November.
So, thank you.
And that, if everyone remembers, is actually the first portion of that second floor of the safety building renovation. This is the first part of that project. That has to be finished before anything else can move.
It's a domino kind of a project, right. Yeah.
Any other questions for Frank? Anything?
Chairman, to present in front of you is a resolution to approve the appointment of Rosalind Taylor Brown to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. Rosalind is attached and she's here present, and we are requesting for the approval of the appointment.
Yes, and this is a filling a new position on the Traffic Safety Council. Quite a impressive resume or someone to fill that position if you folks have read it. We could, any time that I remember talking to Mr. Sitchell about the importance of certain people on the Traffic Safety Council, you have a police lieutenant, you have this person, you have that, you have Clement. But here we have someone that is the assessments agency for OWIs and in the area, trained by the state of Wisconsin and willing to serve on this very important council. So if anyone has any questions, we have her here. If not, I would urge your approval.
Motion to approve Mrs. Brown to the County Traffic Safety Committee.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Gilmore, seconded by Supervisor Bostrom. Any discussion? If not, you the governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And thank you very much for serving also.
Okay, for additional reports, the weather somehow been favorable until recently. And so we've been continuing with our maintenance activities, which involves crack sealing, brushing, ditching, culvert repairs, just general day-to-day maintenance. On project updates, County Trunk Highway S and H intersection, that we've scheduled a meeting on the 10th of April with FHWA, FAA, BOA, and us at the city. We'll be discussing and trying to, you know, look for possible options to move forward. Our goal will be to move the project forward, because I think, technically speaking, we've been going just back and forth. So the next meeting, our goal will be, okay, let's identify the various options and which way we want to move forward. The other projects, County E Bridge, the project, the contractor requested for an early start. We granted that request on the condition that they work with the school, Somers Elementary School, and work out the traffic control, flow patterns, and the detour routes. And they're in the process of doing that. And right now, I think they've started setting up their traffic controls, and utility relocations are in process. County W, the project let date is April 11th, and so which is a few days ahead of us. Other WISDOT projects include State Trunk Highway 45. We've been getting a few calls regarding this project, because those of you who have the opportunity to drive through it, the southbound lane is closed because they're doing nailing, and the northbound is open. But anyway, we've had some complaints with traffic going the wrong direction, and we're working with the construction management team. They've been trying to see how they could fix that. But our experience is that those living within the work zone, when they come out, instead of going north, they tend to go south, because to them it's a shortcut. And there's no sign there to tell you, okay, you have to go north, because you cannot be putting every sign that you have to go north. So they're trying to work it out with the local residents to see how to educate them more, that please, it's one lane, just move, go north. don't go south. Other than that, we've had some other complaints about the intersection where they kind of take down the lights, the street lights around that intersection. Some people, some residents were complaining that it was too dark. The contractors in the process of seeing what can be done. I don't have a definite answer on that yet. Other than that, I think this generally the project has just kicked off, and of course, since it's new, of course, there'll be many confusions here and there, but with time, within the next few months, I think everything will go back. Everybody will understand what is going on, and we don't know the different routes to take. Any other questions on that? And then State Trunk Highway 65, I think this, the main line was supposed to start today, but obviously with the rain, I'm not sure it started. They have been focusing around Highway 31, doing base patching, and the traffic there is just terrible, but they have no other option but to do what they're doing. But it's really congested. I went down there, I tried to walk it down to them, I sat with them, and I gave them some suggestions, and they implemented it, but it didn't really help much. So. It's very difficult to control an intersection that is signalized and you have to repair, especially within the intersection. So we just try to manage it and hopefully we'll get through it. On that note, I think generally that's all I have for today.
Great. I was just going to thank Supervisor Bostrom for the contact information for the FAA because that's really what allowed us.
Did that help?
It did. It absolutely did. Yeah.
Happy to help you.
Yeah. Thank you. I apologize, I forgot.
No worries.
See, he always put me on the
spot. No. It's just a detail I didn't want to make sure.
I'm clever. My wife was down during spring break with some students at Jelly Belly, and she said that intersection was pure hell. Yeah, the first time she's ever been there, she said, thank you, Clement. Matthew Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing in front of you is a request to approve free admission at Kenosha County off-leash dog exercise areas, and this will solely be on 5/10/2017. So this is part of an initiative from the Kenosha Area Visitors Bureau to try to amp up more so for local residents what we have in our own backyards. So we'll be taking part of this pending your approval to try to advertise and campaign and gain more awareness of our three off-leash dog parks in our county parks.
So you have a resolution?
No, it's just a verbal approval because every year we basically verbally approve our rates and our fees. So I thought it'd be a good idea since we're going away from what was our originally approved with our fee structure for pavilions, dog parks, boat launches, just to let you know that this will be one exception for a free day within our dog parks.
Just one free day?
One free day.
One free day.
Yes.
Would anyone like to make that motion?
I'd make the motion.
Supervisor Grady, seconded by?
I'll second.
Supervisor Gilmore. For a free off-leash day for county citizens exercise area there, dog parks. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Thank you. Security.
All right. Next thing is on resolution authorizing Director of Parks to apply for a grant through the DNR for the multi-use trail, and this is our annual stewardship application. So as we've done in previous grant requests, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources needs us to have a resolution through the full county board in order to apply for this grant. So attached in your pack, you can actually see part of our master plan that gives an overview of our multi-use trails through KD Park. So this resolution will authorize us to seek this grant through the stewardship funding in 2017.
And once again, if we receive this grant, the county board and then the committee here would have the opportunity to either accept it or not.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah. question in regards to this.
Yes.
We applied for this same grant last year?
We did apply. We always apply to stewardship grants. And last year we applied for phase two expansion. And we just completed phase one with the parking lot, the parkway, and then our stormwater retention. But we did not receive phase two funding. So what the stewardship funding is there's actually two different components, and you'll see the two resolutions in front of you. This first one is for trails. We put in for mountain bike trails, and then we put in for phase two. So this one, instead of mountain bike trails that we're applying for this year, we're doing multi-purpose trails. So right along, very similar as far as our application process, but this one would give more purpose for the rest of the constituents for more of a multi-purpose expansion trail out to the western part of that Katy Park.
Okay, so if I hear you right, we did apply for phase two, but we didn't get it.
Correct, okay. We did not get it.
Okay, I was under the impression we got it, and it was just sitting somewhere.
We did receive part of a trails funding in 2017. It's a $45,000 total, $90,000 project that will be going on this year. So we did receive part of that trails funding.
But it wasn't through this?
It probably was. I'm trying to recollect where that funding source comes from, and I think that part of it was through stewardship, through their trails grant initiative. So that was a total of a $90,000 one, yes.
Okay. So that $90,000 is going to go to phase two, which is the next resolution from here?
No, that just goes strictly towards multi-purpose trails.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We get guidance from Mr. Ritchie.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been very fortunate. So when we got, say, our initial large grant that gave us our roadway, and you have to be cautious then and realize that the rest of the state is also very deserving of these grants. Mr. Ritchie guides us to the possibility, let's apply for the Bull Lodge aquatic grant instead of, you know, so they've been very good to us, but we have to know that everyone is deserving, and so we try to vary, and we may not get this, but we've been treated very well, but we do a very good job in submittals, and we do a very good job in our final product. So they never hate showing up for pictures in Kenosha County. I mean, they do quite well, and we get invited to Madison if they don't want to come here. But I mean, we so.
Just all of these grants that you're going for is a matching type grant.
They are matching.
So everybody who goes for it has to agree to.
Correct.
Half of it anyway.
And we do have everything already budgeted within
right.
the county
so
budget.
So it's already in our budget.
Correct.
Should we get it?
Correct.
So we just need a motion if we're in favor.
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor.
Second.
Ostrom. Second by Supervisor Webble. Any discussion? If not, you the governance, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries.
So the next one is just in line with what Supervisor Gilmore stated. This is another resolution to apply for funding through the DNR for phase two. So that basically the same type of grant. We just wanted to make sure we were clear as far as one was for trails. This one's for phase two. So this one includes for the restroom facility, parking lot, and multi-use dock for KD Park. And this will be another 50-50 match.
So that's already budgeted.
Correct. Yes. This has already been budgeted.
So
moved by Supervisor Brady, second by Supervisor O'Day. You guys did it.
Okay.
Yes, I already pulled the
talk. Can we discuss the multi-use dock? What are the intentions for that?
Great question. So multi-use dock, what we anticipate is for fishing. It's going to be for a canoe kayak launch, and then also for scuba diving.
We've had numerous requests from the dive teams, rescue teams for practice areas, and that'll be part of that. So moved and seconded to approve this application. Any discussion? Otherwise, Governance, all those in favor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Carries also, thank you, Matt.
The next resolution is to address the retirement of a longtime park superintendent, Nick Murphy, who works on the western side of the county, who has worked over 44 years, and then prior to his end year in 2017. So Nick Murphy, now a grandfather, just his daughter just had her firstborn. So he's going to be, he notified us that he'll be retiring coming up, and part of our goal is what we did with a lot of other county management positions, is a succession plan and training for those critical people that have many, many years of institutional knowledge. So this resolution would allow us and authorize a temporary park superintendent position to succeed Nick Murphy on the western side of the county park system.
What we've done here in the recent history was to have someone shadow our existing personnel. Mr. Collins here is a perfect example of that. And we also did with Clement and Gary Sisma. And the History Center, I guess, they jumped on that idea. They did the same thing. But what we had in the Parks Department before was two people with 40-some years, with John Rudy with 42, and now Nick with over 40. And the only person that knew more than Nick was John, and now John's gone as far as where all this stuff was. You know, you may have maps and buildings and things, but sometimes in the heat of the moment, you'll run a power line between two buildings and say, well, we know where that is. That's why we're actually asking for this, because if you have a foreman with 40-some years experience, there's a whole lot of little secrets. And in that time, there's probably been 100 people work under him, but there's none of them around him. They're not there. You don't have people spent 40 years. You have a couple of your people spent 40 years. It's a very wise program, and I think it's wise to do it. That's what we're after here. Supervisor Grady?
We've done this in the past with both your position and Clement's. That was done under the understanding of bringing somebody in from the outside. Makes perfect sense. Good understood. In this particular situation, are we anticipating a similar type scenario where we probably would have someone come in from the outside? Or are we looking to promote from within?
We don't know that as of yet. We're going to open it up to both internal and external. That's our true intention. So in case we do have to go from the outside, that better helps us through this resolution to prepare.
So that way you have all your bases covered?
Correct.
It's going to be posted internally too?
Correct, it will.
Yeah. That's my question.
Last resolution, resolution to create an account to accept donations for the Division of Parks. So what you have in front of you with this request is a really good thing, is that we've been getting a lot of individuals, organizations that want to give donations to the county parks, which is great. And this has happened in the past with how we were able to actually fund our off-leash dog exercise areas. That was no county funds whatsoever. That was all through private donations. And same thing, we have a similar account with the mountain bike trails over in Silver Lake Park. But we don't have an umbrella for all those other valuable amenities that we see as a necessity, but maybe don't have the funds being the county in order to support those individuals or organizations from donating to the parks to have that added value of those amenities. So with the resolution in front of you, this makes us be able to accept these and then put it right back towards those needed amenities and donation items.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you, is this something that you can accept only if someone offers, or can you, can we make it known that we're accepting donations?
Our plan and intent was to make it more known. For instance, our anniversary party that I'll be talking a little bit about, the reason we're hoping and anticipating that corporate sponsors are able to donate towards that so we can have a larger event and put more of that money towards larger bands, more amenities, more services that are free and open to the general public. So it would give me the ability to go out and seek maybe private funds to enhance either an event or to create something new for a park amenity.
I like that. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
There is no expectation, though, of you mentioned here, if it's a private donation for a public park, that the way it's worded here, or it's the county board, being proper stewards of the county's finances, wishes to ensure that such well-intended gifts do not result in significant adjustments of carefully planned and approved budgets. Can you explain that?
I think what we're trying to get across is that we truly do want to utilize the county budget process for a lot of our major projects, our major amenities, and we don't want to go beyond that. But if for some reason during the given year after our budgets have been approved that a private donor comes to us, we are not able to take on that extra funds without an individual resolution like you have in front of you. So the intent is that we will still follow county budget as was approved by the county board. But if for some reason we have a donor or I seek for a new amenity within the parks, we're able to be a little bit more versatile and accept those things in the middle of the budget year. So I think that's what it's trying to say.
Okay. And then I would expect, just as we have any other budgetary type considerations within our budget book, this will be listed as its own item within the budget book for all to be able to see and inspect.
Yes.
Would that be a reasonable expectation?
Mm-hmm. We have to do that. In order to spend the money?
Well, not to spend the money, but to say this was the income that was received via donations to the parks.
You have to do both. Before you can spend it, you obviously have to receive it. And Okay. Before you can do either of those, we'd have to do budget mods for this. But the budget mod could be done administratively rather than right now. If someone wants to donate $2,000, we have to come to all the committees to get it accepted.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Supervisor Gilmore.
Thank you for bringing that up, Supervisor Grady. I wanted to speak to that issue too. So every time a donation comes in, we have to accept it. So if somebody comes in and says, I want to donate $20 to the park system, it's going to come before this board?
If there's not a specific account, like a dog park account or a mountain bike trail account, in order to use it for a specific amenity.
So in the absence of this, that's what would have to happen. But that's what this is, by why this is being recommended to put it in place, so we don't have to come. So there's a line item that can get set up, like Jim was describing, for revenue in for that umbrella, as Matt used the term, as stuff is donated and they want a specific thing done with that in the park that we approve of, then that's what gets purchased with that. So it's to avoid having to come through with all of it and make it easier for folks to donate money for an event like Matt indicated, the anniversary event we're going to have in August, so that we can get corporate sponsors and basically increase so that we can have better events and better features in the parks that are partially subsidized by private donations.
They do that a lot at Brookside, and they've got all the mechanisms set up for the Brookside picnic, is, you know, which is like $5,000 investment. A lot of the vendors sometimes, they funnel it into the Sunshine Fund. They have set all that up. It's been set up for years now. It does help bring in a lot of donations. And they created an endowment program. We had to firewall everything from the county standpoint. It has to be all done right.
Yeah, my concern would be, is that we're not really a not-for-profit entity or whatever. Are these people going to be expecting a tax deduction?
Can they get that tax? We confirmed that, actually, that as a public entity, Jim did the research, and they can by donating to a local government, as long as the purpose for the money is going to be used for a public feature or public event, it's totally tax deductible, just like a 501c3.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It'll be receipted through the Parks Department? Or?
Yeah.
Correct.
Can we make that known as well? Let you get a tax deduction?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great marketing tactic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm all for this kind of thing. Thanks very much.
I'll be hitting everyone up in December.
You might be too late then.
And if you have four in your family, you can each give $25,000.
So you don't know.
You're up, don't worry. It's true.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is just...
Moved by Supervisor Gilmore to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Supervisor Wendell. Any discussion? If not, use the governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Matt.
Excellent. So the last thing I have is my division report. Silver Lake Park, you can see the pictures that are attached beyond the actual report itself. You can see that our fee booth is like night and day as far as our new constructed fee booth. This thing turned out fantastic, and it was all done in-house, too. This is in-house talent. When we talk about the need for succession planning and our built-in talent, this is just an example of what we can do with the talent that we have. So we looked for copies online of what we could actually purchase, and either they were way too expensive or would not fit a park-like setting, so we just said, we'll do it ourselves. So that's our new fee booth over at the entrance of the Silver Lake Park Beach. Petrifying Springs Park Beer Garden, just a couple updates on the progress. The demo is completed. The rough plumbing did start today. Kitchen floor will be poured this week. The kitchen walls will be furred out and after the floor is poured. And then they intend to install the cedar rafter ties within this week. So moving along very well. And then on top of that, with what I included on the report, is the building is energized with new electric to the pavilion. And then as far as our pavilion number 5, We Energies anticipates to finish this project up and energize it this week. So I just heard a report back today. And then the North Barn demo, We Energies is anticipated to also energize the South Barn. In order to de-energize the North Barn, we need to reroute all that electric within the area. So that should be done this week. And then our intent is to actually try to auction off the barn on a Wisconsin surplus site, so we don't have any demo cost as part of that project. So we're crossing our fingers. We don't know how much luck we'll have, but if we get it done for little or no money, that'd be great. As far as roof replacements, we have two on the plate for this spring. We have Silver Lake Park Beach Pavilion, and then also one of the smaller Fox River shelter roofs. So the bids were sent out, and we are going to have those back by the 17th of this month. And a couple of events. We have a Skyline Classic disc golf tournament. I hear that we're already sold out for that one, so we expect a really good crowd on the 8th and the 9th. And then just to save the date, as I stated before, it's our 90th anniversary this year, so we're pouring in a lot of time and energy for our 90th anniversary celebration at Petrifying Springs Park on August 5th. It'll be noon till 8 p.m. followed by fireworks. So just putting that out there to put it on your calendars, and hope you guys can join us. So there's a flyer attached with that as well. Pringle Nature Center, you can see the naturals report. And then also I did make a promise to attach pictures of our new volleyball nets of a before and after. So those pictures should be on there as well. And that's all I have.
Any questions for Matt? Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I'm happy to report that the golf courses are open. Both the white and the blue are open at Brightondale, and Petrifying Springs is also open. We were able to open the White Birch on March 5th, but we only got about 3 days of golf in then, and then we didn't have anybody showing up. And then again, we opened up both the Blue and Petrifying Springs on the 24th. We're real happy that we could open with carts, car traffic, because of the continuous cart pass that was approved recently for both the Blue and the White and Petrifying Springs. So that really helped get more guests there, and it's on the path only, but we were able to use their carts, so that was great. We attended the golf show in Milwaukee, and we gave about 5,000 coupons. It was pretty slow on Friday and Saturday, but Sunday was a very good day for us. We're down about 1,500 coupons from last year, so we're putting some of those out locally there on the front counter at the window out here and our window. And so we're trying to still utilize those coupons, get the same flow from the last couple of years. But we had St. Paddy's Day on Friday, and we had the Badger basketball game on Saturday, which I thought affected attendance there. And then we're working with Lee Enterprises and the Racine Journal Times on a digital marketing. We're working on a 50,000 person email blast twice this year. We just submitted the first one for mostly outings and daily fee, and also our season pass. And we're working on geofencing and YouTube impressions and digital remarketing. So if you go to a site and if you go to our site and then all of a sudden you go to another site, you're going to see our image pop up on the right side of your computer screen. So we think that this is a good purchase of our advertising dollars. Excuse me. And we're hoping that it works as well as it did the last couple of years or better. The off season went great. I think we brought in a lot of good equipment. I think equipment that's going to sell. Callaway's been one of the only golf equipment lines that have been rising instead of falling, and we aligned ourselves with them this year. We brought in a Tour Edition, which is a local out of Chicago golf manufacturer, and they have a lifetime warranty, so I think that's going to be a big selling point for us. The freshening up of the clubhouses is unbelievable. I mean, I encourage all of you to stop by Petrifying Springs Golf Course. The clubhouse is leaps and bounds from where it was at the end of last season. I mean, the new ceiling, the lighting, the paint, the flooring, the bathrooms, the different lighting in there, all the little touches, that we were able to do with the help of Tim Catter from our facilities. It's getting rave reviews already, even though, we haven't had a lot of players out there. So, I encourage you all to stop by and take a look at it. We're working on getting the fish fry staffed. We want to make sure that we have proper staffing and going to have a quality experience before we get that started, but we're hoping that we can start that in the middle of April. We'll really have to kind of see how applicants come in for food and beverage and how quickly the training can happen, but we want to get that going again. But the renovation of the golf shop at Brightondale, the new counters, the new counter in the food and beverage area, how clean the clubhouse is, again, the painting that went on there, it just looks awesome. So I encourage you all to stop by the clubhouses and take a look at that. Most of all, the supplies and equipment have been purchased for the upcoming season. We started receiving our capital equipment, so that's great. We got a new a sprayer for the grounds at Petrifying Springs. Our fertilizers and chemicals have been coming in, so we're really getting ready for a great season. So I'm looking forward to it.
Any questions for Dan? When's the sun coming up, man?
Saturday.
Ray knows this, and now Dan probably does too, because Ray probably told Dan. But I received a request from the people in Dundee, Illinois, which when I was a young guy playing hockey in Dundee, at Santa Village is where we played hockey at 1 in the morning. That was when ice time was cheap. This was back in, you know, 1968. So Dundee, affluent area, parks department probably large, having trouble with their golf courses, and I received a request from some people that had heard what we did with our golf courses here, and they wanted to know how we turned this around in the last 7 or 8 years. So I requested to Ray and Dan to put together a little outline for me, because they're contemplating closing down half of what they did. They've heard what happened here in Kenosha County, and they want to see how they can. And the first thing I told Ray is, and I told the first gentleman over the phone, which didn't go over well here 7 or 8 years ago, I said, we spent money. And that's exactly what we did. So, and it was first on irrigation at Dan's, not insistence, but recommendation that to keep the right type of people and to keep spending money with. So I told that guy from Dundee, he said, oh, that's not going to go over well. I said, well, I'll give you some other ideas. So Ray did tell you this thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I can, doesn't have to be complicated, but just a little very, but yeah, they're very interested in it. So word has gotten around about Kenosha County, and especially our golf courses and our parks.
And then you encourage them if their players didn't have a good place to play, they could come up here and play.
Come to Brightdale, and I told them I'd have some little tickets I could give them to.
Yeah, I just took a look at, I have all the bullet points, you know, from when I first started, you know, irrigation and you know, all the brushing and, you know, working on the cart pass and everything is right up on the front of my desk every single day. That's, you know, I come in with that focus, you know, and work on getting those things better and better and better, so.
Yeah, and it's not smoke and mirrors. If it's a year, you say, oh, we had a hell of a good year, but we're consistent. But you're consistent now. That's very important.
Just a quick question. When you talk about league capacity at a popular course such as Pat's, I know you've been doing better and better, more and more leagues are coming over. Does it ever get to a point like there was in the old days, you know, this is now, you know, many years ago, where you reach league capacity? Are we approaching that? Are we close to that? Where are we at?
We're at that. Yeah, we don't have any facility left for Monday through Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30. I mean, we're completely booked up there. But, you know, weekdays always, but it's hard to get players because everybody's working, you know, so.
But that's at Pets. We still have capacity.
Right. And we keep, you know, focus on all of our outings, anything that we can possibly shift to Brightondale, and that's been one of our success stories too. We've been able to shift a lot of, you know, it used to be, you know, like 55-45 in play, and now it's 65-35 in play. You know, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, we're trying to utilize that capacity out there. So,
I think for Dan. Thank you, Dan. Mike.
Start with the focus on energy projects ask list. Happy to report the project from the non-complete and complete list. That's the parking lamp LED conversion. Electrician was out for a while and he finally came back and we were able to button that one up. I'm also changing the date on the county center truck garage project to a completion date of the end of the month. And with him back, I'm pretty confident we should be able to button that up, and I probably can report next month that we move to the completion list. That's it for this list. Ongoing projects. The only one I have ongoing is the pretrial sealant replacement project. Last meeting, I reported that we selected a contractor. Since then, we've had a pre-construction meeting to button everything up and get the details down with that guy. That went really well. Next, tomorrow is scheduled what's called a pull test. So they'll come out and do 4-foot sections, treating the caulk area, leave it dry for 14 days, and then they do an actual pull test and make sure they have the right adhesion. And then if it's good, we'll go forward with the project, and it should start pretty soon after that. The weather should be good by then. That's a report on that project. And then on the operational side, we report that we have an elevator issue at the Molinaro building. It's been in and out of service since mid-January, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because the DA's not real happy with me. They got the stairs there, second and third floor, and they all got to go up and down with their carts. And it's been a big issue, and we thought we could turn it around, but it just hasn't worked out. We had an elevator contractor come in and replace a bad hydraulic valve, and we thought that would take care of it. And a day later, we developed another problem. It was a hydraulic leak. We got that, I think, resolved to be repaired this Friday, and we're hoping it's successful, because if it doesn't, it's probably going to throw me in jail. But we will. In addition to that, we're contemplating replacing or getting a spare power unit, which is an assembly that makes up all the components of the elevator. And we're going to have that on hand if we can do that, just in case we have another breakdown so we don't have such a bad lag in time. And the good thing is we think there's other elevators in the county that power unit can be used on. So it's probably a good move to make, but we've still got more research to do.
So we've got it working again now?
This week,
not right
fall.
Now. We're hoping by Friday the leak's going to be repaired and that we have success and can go forward.
Mike talked to Mike Gravely, and I talked to him this morning too. So, based on what we learned last Friday, was it the 5th or Thursday? Thursday. I'm reasonably confident we're going to get it up this week, but we're investigating, as Mike indicated, that back, having a true backup, because there's a 2 to 4 week lead time to get those things otherwise. If we can have one on the shelf, so to speak, and that would cover more than one of our elevators, it would be a good investment to prevent this, because he's got folks, if you've seen the DAs, they typically have carts of files. It's a very paper-intensive process, and now they're carrying all those things up and downstairs, and if there's folks that are of limited physical means that need to get up to see them, it's causing a lot of problems. And I'm reasonably confident. I met with the new elevator guy. He's not new to us, but he's new to this building. It's just been a dilemma to find consistent for some of these technical repair positions, whether you're talking HVAC controls, security controls, elevators, any of them. It's a very, I encourage so many kids, if they don't want to get a 4-year degree, just go to Gateway at Tech School, get your hydraulic, electric, and you'll make just as good a living and maybe better by getting that kind, because there isn't enough. These guys are all robbing each other. We have like 3 or 4 elevator vendors that we can use aftermarket, and they kind of rob their best guys from one another, and that's what goes on, because they're for sale to the highest bidder because there's not many of them around.
So Mike, if you need one, that caterer and that foot made it so I had to get a good attorney. I found one. I've got a name for you. If you remember, I was exonerated.
I'm gonna steer him to Ray this time.
I don't want to see him in trouble with those guys.
I would think.
Okay, so that's it. Now the big one.
Brooks side. We are, I'm not going to say in the home stretch, but we're rounding the final turn as far as the new construction goes. In the CVRF this week, they were actually supposed to start today construction cleaning of all the CVRF. So everything in the CVRF is, I'm going to say, substantially complete. The flooring came in the first week in March, and all of for the bathrooms, for the showers specifically. So that all got put in place in the CVRF. It's being installed in the rehab right now on the top floor. I don't think we started the first floor yet. So that was good. It came in towards the end of the first week, but they were able to get going right away. We encountered, though, I'm calling it a concrete moisture content issue. Now, this was a new thing that I learned about, as you always do in these projects. So because of environmental regulations that have come down over the past decade or so, the adhesives that are used to put down any kind of flooring, whether it's carpet, resilient flooring, are now water-based. They're not petroleum-based. It gives off fewer vapors, so it's safer and better for folks and better for the environment. Problem is, those, because they're water-based adhesives, they're more sensitive to how much moisture is in the concrete when you apply it. So when we did the CVRF, we did that flooring, all of it, pretty much in the dead of winter, and moisture content was very low. The air is dry, everything was dry. They actually have holes they drill into the concrete before they install any of the flooring now. They install little electronic sensors and they measure the moisture content in the concrete. They have to do it in specific locations. So I never heard about it when we did the CVRF because the moisture content needs to be between 86 and 88% or lower. And it was 80% when we did the CVRF. Well, when they went in last week, actually 2 weeks ago now, to start putting flooring in the rehab, that was all 91 to 93%. So what that meant was, in order for us to keep on schedule with things as we get close to the May 17th target, that we're moving everybody into the new building, we needed to come up with a way to seal that moisture, which there's products available, and luckily the kind of go-to product for this, because it's a very common thing now, is made in Kenosha, and it's called Dry Bone, or Bone Dry. Bone Dry is the name of the product. It's made in Kenosha, and the normal cost for that is $1.50 a square foot to put this down. It's a very expensive product, but it works. It's pretty much bulletproof. Camozzi was able to talk with the gentleman that owns the company in Kenosha, and I guess he's pretty well known. His name is Jim Gorley, and I'm throwing his name around because he really helped us out tremendously. He lowered the price to 85 cents a square foot because he saw what the project, it's a public project, it's for the community. He worked with us, and we're going about it in a very incremental way. So the only flooring we had to put down to keep on the schedule to make sure we hit May 17th is the resilient flooring, which is the kitchens and bathrooms on the second floor of the rehab unit. We sealed those with the product, and that's already installed. That flooring's already installed. But we're cranking the heck out of the heat to burn off as much moisture as we can. And I got a report this morning that it does appear to be coming down, even though it's obviously outside extremely moist, it's starting to drop. So we'll continue to install the resilient flooring on the second floor, but we're hoping that the rest of all the carpeted flooring will be able to put it down without having to use the sealant at all. Worst case scenario, prior to Mr. Gorley giving us the deal, it could have been a $90,000 adventure to seal all the floors, worst case scenario. Now the worst case is if we have to seal everything, it's about $35,000. And at this point, I'm fairly confident we're not going to have to do that. But we probably are going to spend somewhere between $10,000 and maybe $15,000 for what the areas that we do have to seal. And that leads me right into the next thing, talking about the contingency, because given where that kind of places us with the contingency, we thought it wise, given this is the time of year that we look at doing our end of the year budget carryover resolution, and April is typically the month we do that. So I sat down with Jim and we went through and looked at all of whatever little crumbs or fairly substantial crumbs that we had from capital projects and facilities last year. We scraped together enough money from those projects, and there was also $50,000 from the sheriff that they had originally budgeted to do a design study for the project that's going on that Frank's running right now, the PSB. That was just left in their budget. We threw that in the hopper. We came up with $299,000. If you go back and I did went back and analyzed all the money we spent on the soils related issues we had with Brookside, both the compromised soils that we had to excavate and then put in engineered fill, as well as the contaminated soils from the old fuel tank, that was about $280,000. So in my mind, I said, let's make an attempt to replenish what we spent on soils, put that into that budget so that we can at least have a comfortable margin going into the balance of starting the renovation, that we have some contingency funds. So this would basically replenish that. What we spend on soils, this would kind of replenish that. We have about two up the better part of $300,000 in our contingency to carry us through the end of the project. Is it going to be enough? I think so. I feel pretty confident about it, but we haven't opened up any of the areas that are going to be renovated in the old Brook site to find out that things actually are the way they are on the prints that we have to work with right now. So there's always a potential, but I think it's a much, much smaller potential than we had with the soils issue. So that resolution will be going to the Finance Committee, what day?
A week from Thursday.
A week from this Thursday. So it doesn't require our committee to take formal action, it just goes as a part of the formal carryover resolution. But I wanted to make the committee aware that that's the recommendation that we're making, because I just think it's the wise thing to do to get us through the end of the project. That's kind of the biggest thing related to Brookside. And I think I covered everything else, the notes I had on that as well. So that's pretty much it. March 17th, or May 17th is the day. We've got, I think there's 10 teams that Fran has working together to develop everything that's needed so that we literally can move all 154 right now, but probably 140 plus residents from their existing building into the new building in one day. There's a lot of, it's not going to be like the normal invasion, but the logistics involved are going to be pretty significant. So that's pretty much the whole Brookside thing.
Ray, just to touch on that, you said today that if anybody who wanted to see where they are today, she'll meet with them anytime at 3 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, or Fridays. So, friend, anybody wants to call her or make an appointment, she'll be happy to show up. But that's after construction during the day, so.
Right, no hard answer.
You're not in the issue.
With regard to the detention center storage building for the sheriff, the city made a kind of a challenging, very last minute change to what they wanted for the exterior finish on the building. I think we got that worked out now with them, and that's going to the plan commission for approval this Thursday night. And then we had to extend the bidding deadline. The bids were going to be due the 4th this week, but now it's extended to the 18th. Still shouldn't pose any major problems for us if we can keep on that schedule. Last couple odds and ends, had a number of staff retirements that have or will be producing vacancies in the next few months. In Mike's shop, he's got 4 to 6 positions. He's going to be interviewing all day with Bob tomorrow. The good news is with the salary wage adjustments we made, we got good response to the ad. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to get some good, because 6 people in his shop is about almost 20% of his workforce. It's a substantial amount of folks he's going to be turning over. And in highways, there's 4 to 6 vacancies there. And they started interviewing for those last week, and they had really good candidates for that as well. The only position we're struggling for is the new civil engineer position. We had, I think, a total of 8 resumes come in for that. 3 have looked like they were interview-worthy. One of those took a position, actually at the city, and the other one took another position, and the one we interviewed was a courtesy interview at best. So we're continuing to recruit for that position. It's civil engineering in general. It's not a sexy engineering job anymore. Everybody, all the kids are going into biomedical engineering or aerospace. It's where the big money is, and it's where it's kind of a flashy thing. It's unfortunate, but civil engineering's kind of suffering right now in that regard. And, as these folks, more of these people start to retire, it's really going to be a problem. It's going to ultimately end up boosting wages, but in the meantime, it's going to be just a struggle to get civil engineers. That's kind of where we're at.
Any questions for Ray? If not.
Make the motion.
Motion to adjourn.